see if we can get this back up. Now, as I was saying a few moments ago, God is in control of all things. And yes, Pat, if God wanted to let people choose freely, he could do that at some level. That's no question, no problem. I think the question for you is, what if God is absolutely sovereign over salvation? Who's to be saved and who's to be damned? Could you believe that? Could you believe him? The Bible tells us that, certainly. It says that he is in control of who is saved. It says he elected people from the foundation of the world before they chose evil or good. It is not conditioned upon man's freedom. I think that's really the problem. Pat wants to condition what God does on his creatures. Now that is an impossibility. Because God made the world. God made his creatures. So, yes, this whole illustration of who would drink from in Gideon's case. But who determined how they would drink? Is God in control of that as well? Does God condition us so that we do what we do? Is God in control of whether we want to reach down and reach up with our hands and drink or stick our hand on the water? All of those components are what God is in control of as well. Let's consider a few more verses about how God is in control of all of human freedom. I've already pointed out that even the cross in which God had Jesus nailed by godless human hands was the predetermined plan of God. That's the very plan. God has control over every aspect of human life, even their days. Psalm 22:9. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust upon my mother's breasts. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Not only does that prove that children are included from their earliest time in the covenant of God, something that Pat also just doesn't believe, but also that God's in control of all of these aspects of our life, all of our days. Psalm 71:6. By thee I have been sustained from my birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. God is in control of every aspect of your life. Unless you believe that, you're missing out on knowing the true God of Scripture. Psalm 139, very famous verse. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. In thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as of yet there was none of them. Or James 4:13 speaks of the aspects of human life. God's in control of our days, as Psalm 139 says. The days that were ordained for me. Every day, every aspect, every hair on your head, every sparrow that falls. If you believe God is in control of all things, then you can rest in that assurance and flee from anxiety because God is in control. If you control it all with your free will, then you better fear because guess what? You have no control. God is in control of every aspect of human life, especially our faith, especially what we believe. The days of our life were ordained. James 4:13 says, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such city. Don't say this because you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor. It is if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. If the Lord wills, like Deo Volente. If the Lord wills, this will happen. It is according to the Lord that it will happen. Or do you think you're in control of reality? Think you're in control by your free will? Think you control all reality by your free will? Whatever happens to you is just your choice. No. God ordained your days. And God is in control. What is God in control of? Well, as I finally got to this, trying to set the stage in the first talk, what is God in control of? Everything. It's very plain. So therefore, can you deny that God is in control of who's going to be saved? No. Ephesians 1:4-6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, you were not in the position of choosing God, Pat. He chose those who believed before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to praise the glory of His grace. See, you can only praise the glory of His grace if God is in control of it. If you have control of it by your free will, or your alleged free will, then of course, you can't really praise His grace. If it wasn't His grace, it was you. And that's really what it reduces down to very plainly. Either you, by your work of choice, by your inherent goodness, choose salvation. That's you. Or, my understanding is, to the praise of the glory of His grace. It's God's work and grace alone. It's God's power. That are you saved? Do you have eternal life? Do you have peace with God through work of Christ? Then it's God's doing. 2 Timothy 1:9. It's God who granted us to be in Jesus Christ from all eternity. Granted, gift. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. From the beginning, God has chosen who will be saved. This is what the Bible says. I'm not writing this up. This is what the Bible says. Romans 8:28 tells us that God, who called, well, first of all, God causes all things to work together to good for those who love God and call according to His purpose. Now, that's really the first talk I made, the first statement, was God calls all things to work together for His own purpose. He's in control of every detail of reality, every hair, every worm, every sparrow, every arrow, every random action, every die that's cast, every lot that shows up, all these things God is in control of. Therefore, He's working it all together, as it says here, according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, and I will talk about foreknowledge in a moment, His knowing beforehand, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He called. And whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now, of course, this call is an effectual call. That's what we talk, that's what we say in Reformed theology. There are other calls. When I say, Pat, believe God is sovereign, that's a universal call. That's perhaps not even an effectual call, because you won't believe it. But when God calls us in this chain, this golden chain of Romans 8, those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. You can't get out of that. God's sovereign over who will be saved. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says it in a very plain and basic way. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Most people that deny this truth do not understand this verse. Pat, get up here and say, I know that by His doing, I am in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with me, nothing to do with my free will, nothing to do with my choice, nothing to do with how good and happy I am. It is the grace of God alone. He chose me from the foundation of the world. Sit up and say that again.
What verse is that, Greg?
1 Corinthians 1:30 and 32. Because, as it says at the bottom here, 1 Corinthians 1:32, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Ultimately, this is what it comes down to. Do you boast in yourself because you chose Him? Or do you boast in God because He chose you? That's very fine. It's very simple. It's two choices. Either you did it or He did it. Are you in Christ Jesus by your own doing or by His doing? If you're in it by His doing, then all glory be to God. All glory be to the Lord. If you're in Christ Jesus by your own doing, then you've got something to boast about, don't you? Who's in control? God's in control. Who is saved? Again, saved from the words of our Lord Jesus. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. What could that possibly mean? Well, it means no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. That's what it means. Everyone who has heard and learned from me everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. I don't know if Pat believes that. I hope it's in his Bible. But he probably should mark it out, because I don't think he believes that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him to him. And Everyone that has heard and learned from the Father comes to Jesus. John 6:46, 65. He was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted from the Father. That's what I believe. God is sovereign over these things. Even John 17:9. I asked in the Jesus High Priestly Prayer, he asks, on behalf of the world, he says, not on behalf of the world do I ask, but of those whom thou hast given me. That's not everybody. Those whom thou hast given me. What is God in control of? Well, God's in control of faith and repentance. Paul is going to say initially, salvation is conditioned on faith and repentance. Of course, from the human perspective, we say, who's going to be saved? Those who believe. Of course, there's no problem in saying that. I hope that will not continue to waste time by coming up with conditional statements in the Bible and then trying to say, well, therefore, this isn't right, therefore, you is not right. Because look, it says, if they do this, then this. Well, of course, there's plenty of conditions. There's plenty of conditionality in the revelation of God. God says, if you believe, then you'll be saved. That's conditionality. I preach that every Sunday, no problem. I preach, you must repent in order to be saved. I preach, you must be baptized. All of these things are conditions. No problem. But that's from the ordinary human perspective, from the revelation God's given. That's not God's conditioning. God makes it so that we repent. God makes it so that we believe. And that's what this text says. Ephesians 2:8-9. Faith, grace, salvation are the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. I think Pat really would like to boast. I think he would like to say, I've chosen, it was me, I did it. It's kind of a Frank Sinatra moment. I did it my way, I did it, Lord, I chose you. But the Bible says it's a gift of God, if you believe. For to you it has been granted. For Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, it's been granted. If you believe, it's been granted. Faith is a gift. Acts 16:14. The Lord had to open Lydia's heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Is God in control of faith and repentance? Yes, he is. The Spirit of God must work to grant repentance to Israel, says Acts 5:31, or to grant to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Does God grant repentance? Does he grant it to everyone? Well, that would make sense, would it? If he grants repentance, then only those people who have been granted such repentance do repent. As Acts 13:48 says, as many as the Lord had appointed to eternal life believe, because God is in control of these things. 2 Timothy 2:24-25, the Lord's bondservant is not quarrelsome, but kind to all, patient and wrong, gentle when corrected, gentle in correction. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth. Does God grant repentance? Yes. If God is in control of repentance. So if he wants to, repentance is a condition. Yes, it's a condition. We can talk about those conditions. But God is the one who supplies that condition for those who he wishes to be saved. What is God in control of? Just God. God is in control of everything. God is sovereign over all aspects of reality. Especially salvation. Salvation is at the core of reality. That's the core purpose of God. The cross, by the predetermined plan of God, that's at the core of God's purposes. He's in control of stars and heat of the earth and heat of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and all these things. Of course he's in control of salvation. I think Pat raised a number of points. I'm going to try to interact with them as much as I can so I can remember them. Again, Pat, I'm not saying